to the Biblical Entrepreneurship Marketplace Podcast. We're so excited that you can be with us. We're going to be talking about what God is doing in the marketplace. And now, our host, Patrice Segay.
Welcome to the Biblical Entrepreneurship Marketplace Podcast. I'm Patrice Segay, here with my guest, Tom Mayers, the chairman of Burgerville, the author of a recently released book, Serve with Love, that we had the privilege of publishing, and a good friend, board member of the Email Project, and another organization. I hate to forget their name, but I'm biased here. I should mention their name. Yeah. You're also a board member, Tom, of another of a college. What's the college called?
Heritage University.
Heritage University. Yeah. I know if you're involved, it's a great university. Mm-hmm. Heritage University. So I give you some props, Heritage. We have a mutual friend. Tom, so good to have you here in the studio in our podcast. Uh-huh. We actually here in downtown Vancouver in Tom's office. Tom is the, I wouldn't say retired, but if you were, you're not anymore. Tom is, what's the word to use? I wouldn't say retired, but used to be CEO, active CEO of Burgerville. And now you're the chairman and do some, you know, different things in the company. You had to step in. And you've been kind of back, not fully active, but kind of navigating the ship.
Let's just say I'm repurposed.
Repurposed, I love it. He's a repurposed CEO of Burgerville. Of course, those of you who are in Portland, Oregon, in actually Vancouver in the Pacific Northwest, you know Burgerville, a company so dear to all of our hearts, endeared by the region, place of fresh food, fresh stuff, and you know, not just, you know, that's kind of your... And a transformative way of looking at fast food. So, Tom, again, thank you so much for what your family, your lovely wife, Kathy, and, of course, my good friend, Jennifer. They're all actually here in the studio with us. So, Tom, we're here in your office, your repurposed office. So, Tom, how long has it been? How long have you been since you've been repurposed from the company?
It's 3.5 years.
3.5 years.
Yeah, going. Wow. Yeah, this is the, yeah.
And so for the last 3.5 years, you faithfully come to this office here every week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how has repurpose been? How has this post-Burgerville journey been?
Well, you know, this office is the office of Identity Clark County, which is a local business organization. And when I moved in here, because they had the space and they needed to have somebody help pay the rent, so I came in, and the next thing they I know, they asked me to be the chairman of the board.
Put you right to work.
So I'm also doing that. Yeah.
On top of being a board member of the Nehemiah Project, and on top of being the recent author of this book, we're going to get to the book in a minute. Tom, just for our listeners, because our listeners are from around the world, let's give a sense of Burgerville. And what that is. So first, tell them, what is Burgerville for those who are listening?
What is Burgerville? I guess I would say everything you said was pretty much right on. But the other part of that is that we are a stand for creating a thriving region.
Yeah.
We don't have any goals of becoming national or international. Our focus is going to be primarily in the Northwest.
Yeah. So it's a regional chain of a fast food chain.
Yes.
Within Vancouver, Oregon, or Washington, Oregon.
Washington, Oregon.
Oregon.
Right.
About how many restaurants?
42.
42 restaurants. Yeah. One at the airport. So if you ever travel to Portland, Oregon, at the airport, you can have, sometimes when I'm going by, I grab some milkshake. My wife is probably listening right now. So you have 40, and then how many employees, Tom, does Burgerville have today?
About 1,500.
About 1,500. So it's not a small company. Probably over $100 million a year in revenue.
Yeah.
Been around for close to 100 years now, right?
Well, yeah, the company has been around for that long. Burgerville's been around since 1961. Yeah.
And many people don't know this, but Burgerville was actually owned by the Holland Inc. Right. When you said the company, that's what you're talking about. Holland still exists. You guys still run that. But that's really the mother of Burgerville. Would you agree?
Uh-huh.
All right. So so Burgerville would be like a Chick-fil-A, a McDonald's, but except better. I can attest to that. We have a staff member out of Malaysia. Whenever she leaves Portland, what she misses most is Burgerville. When she comes to Portland, she said, she's taking it to Burgerville.
Hey,
you know,
good.
So you have some fans. So, Tom, our theme this year, you're going to be a speaker for us at Nehemiah Week as we talk about spiritual warfare. And our theme, of course, is spiritual warfare in the marketplace. And you're going to be talking about love. So, Tom, and part of that is part of this book, Serve with Love, Burgerville's Transformation to a Mission-Led Company. When you became CEO of Burgerville, you coined this mission statement that literally transformed the company. It was a good company. It became a great company and really a transformed company in the region. Mm-hmm. You had a good foundation to build upon, but that kind of went to another level. So our listeners listening, and we're talking about love as a weapon for warfare, whether it's love as a mission statement in corporate America, whether it's love as a transformative engine, or love as a weapon of spiritual warfare. And they say, can love truly be an offensive weapon or a defensive weapon, for lack of a better word, or offensive, mm-hmm. to go to battle? I mean, what do you say to that, Tom?
Well, I say absolutely. It's the only way. And we are, it seems to be more than ever in the midst of, you know, a lot of, I'll just call it upset. I mean, we see it everywhere. We mm-hmm. see it in our government. We see it everywhere we look.
There's racial upset. At least in America, yes. Racial upset, political upset,
yeah.
Right? Disasters, all of these things.
National, international things going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels, and that really gets everybody, I think everybody, tense and brings out, unfortunately, I think the worst in people, unless they have something like Serve with Love.
Yeah.
To count on.
To count as an anchor.
Yes.
So let's talk about that. So Serve with Love, you believe you are an evangelist to this. You strongly believe that serving with love can bring stability, can be transformative, can be a healing tool for communities and companies.
Yes, I believe that.
All right, so let's go back a bit. So this book kind of talks about the story of you taking over as CEO of the company. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of talk a bit about how this mission was conceived so our audience can kind of understand. So when you took over the company, you needed something bigger than you.
Yes.
And then talked about, so how did that go from that idea to actually seeing mission statement as the answer?
I will call it fortunate, but I don't believe in it. That was just happenstance that in the period of time in the life of the company where I saw we were struggling and the big guys were kind of eating us up and our guest counts were slowly but surely declining. I thought there's got to be another way. There's got to be something else that comes in here to help. I can't do it. And then two guys show up, and the two guys were Dick Barnett and Bill Cutts, who brought to us the idea of being a mission-led company. And Dick Barnett had even written a book all about being mission-led, which became it's about as big as my Serve with Love book. And it became our, I'll just call it our, I don't want to say Bible, but it became our, like
wow.
Our Bible in terms of the concepts that were in there, the things that you need to do if you're really going to be mission led, because if you're a mission led company, every decision you make in your company has to come from mission.
Mm.
And so all of a sudden something's bigger than, you know, me as CEO of the company. It's the mission of the company that is more important than anything.
Wow, I love it. So Tom, here's what I'm getting from you. So before Serve with Love, this idea of something bigger than you as CEO and mission being that thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of companies have mission statements, but for many it's just a word, a phrase, a sentence.
Or a paragraph.
A paragraph.
Nobody can remember.
Yeah. and it doesn't really have life. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But for you, you brought in this idea that a mission statement, whatever that is, can be transformative.
Yes.
For a company.
Yeah.
So, Tom, so are you suggesting then that everyone listening to their company owners or they're looking to start a business, that they really need to look at their mission statement as, does this mission statement, is it something I can really hold on to? Because it can really impact the company.
Yes, absolutely.
Because your guest count is going down, you're being eaten by the competitor, and then you, this idea of mission kind of is your answer.
Yeah.
What convinced you of that?
That's a good question. It just, for me, it just felt like I was drawn to it. I mean,
wow.
It showed up.
Yeah.
And I'm a believer of how
things. Nothing's by accident.
Yeah. Nothing happens by accident. Things show up in your life for a reason. And this showed up. And so I was, you know, one of the first members in our organization that.
You were the first adapter.
Yeah. That said to myself, okay, I can do this.
Wow.
And I can let this mission lead us. And we went through a couple of crazy missions. But when we landed on Serve with Love.
That was it.
That was it.
And this book kind of talks about the evolution, the process. Yeah. You want to pick this book up. It really deals with, and by the way, to pick the book up, you can go to Amazon or you can go to nehemiahproject.org and you can get the book either e-copy or physical copy. So you kind of went through this iteration of several kind of mission statements until you came to Serve with Love. Mm-hmm. Now, your team, was it a tough buy-in to get folks in the organization to understand the power of mission when you first grab a hold of it?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, and the reason I think it was hard was it's primarily because, well, how does it grab you? I mean, how does it really get a hold of you? Does it really energize you to want to do things differently or to be a different kind of a person? And if it doesn't, then people aren't going to be too interested.
So you go through kind of a process of evolution and then you capture this mission. Tom, could you give some examples, some of the mission statements you had before Serve with Love? Maybe give us one or two. You
remember? Yeah, our first mission statement was meet our guest expectations.
And I think that mission statement was there even before you became CEO. Is that true? Or actually, it was captured while you were CEO.
Yeah, right.
Now, your father-in-law, who you bought the business from, he was part of shaping that original mission, you and him both together.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
And I love what you said. You want to one-up him when he took over.
Yeah, well, it was really important to him. And I kind of knew why, because I saw him working in the restaurant and how taking care of the guests was really important to him. So I got that. But yeah, then he retired and we bought him out. And then I changed the mission to exceed our guest expectations. So I could sort of one up him.
I love it. And then, of course, eventually came to Serve with Love. Now, tell me, there's a story you tell about in the book. Again, you want to pick this book up because it has some very interesting real story about the navigation of Burgerville and coming to this point. You tell a story about you had a mission statement that had to do with fun. Could you? And then you had a company retreat where there was a little too much fun.
Hey, you're giving away the whole book.
I think it's important for our guests to understand that you had some hiccups before you got to this thing. Because mission matters. Because what you guys realized at your company retreat that, wait a minute, part of this behavior was also in part due to our mission.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, we landed on a mission of have fun, be the best, no compromise. That became our mission. Have fun, be the best, no compromise. And everybody thought that was a kind of a good mission. Our people got pretty excited about that. So, and then we did a retreat, a planning retreat with all of our GMs and executive people. And we did that down at the coast. And we had a 2-day retreat. And the first day was, we did a lot of good work and everything. And then that night we had dinner and everything, then I went to bed. Everybody else, a lot of them went down to the beach to have fun.
They were living out the mission.
Yeah, they were living the mission, they thought. And they sort of overdid it as far as drinking. And they came back off the beach, in fact, actually rowdy, where they were disturbing the whole hotel that we were staying in. And to the point where the police were called. And I didn't know about it until the next morning.
Wow.
When we found out about it, we gathered in the morning, everybody was kind of hanging their head and saying, oh boy, you know, we kind of screwed up and all that kind of stuff. And And so we said, okay, we're going to go around to every room. We're going to knock on the door. We're going to apologize to the guests, and we're going to tell them we're paying for their room for the night.
Wow! And you made it right. That is awesome.
So we did that. We did all that, and everybody went out and had to do that. And then we all gathered back together in the conference room, and they said, "Okay, it's time for a new mission. This one is not working."
I love it. So for our guests to understand, so you can have the wrong mission.
Yes.
So mission is important, but the right one is more critical.
Yeah.
Right? I love that story. So then from there, by the grace of God, you end up with Serve with Love. So Tom, tell us a bit. You remember the time where that word was articulated by you or a member of the team, and what made it resonate? You know, take us a bit about that moment where you're working through this new mission statement, and then Serve with Love pops up, and you say, that is it.
Yeah, well, one of the things we were doing in the process of working with Bill and Dick Barnett and Bill Cutts, was we started doing a lot. Our concern was for all of our employees, and we wanted them to be better off having worked for us. And so we did a lot of development, what we call development of our people, and we gave them opportunities to kind of dig into, you know, things like what's their purpose in life, why are you here, what do you really want to accomplish, those kinds of conversations we were having with our people. In those conversations and doing my own personal work was where I came to the fact that I believe my purpose in life was to give people the opportunity to know God. Pretty much is.
Yeah, that was the essence of it.
Yeah,
the essence. Again, it's in the book.
Yeah. And so that was my purpose in life. I had come to before the mission. And then when this mission.
I think it was the love of God. I think it was the love in there.
Love of God.
Yeah, the love of God.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. To know the love of God.
Yeah.
And so when Serve with Love showed up, it was just like, aha.
Wow.
Isn't that nice? I like that.
It just resonated.
It just resonated. And the people, my executives that were there, it resonated with all of them. And we thought it was a great, great mission.
It didn't resonate with your consultants, though.
Did not resonate with our, yeah.
But you guys proceeded anyway.
Yeah. They thought no business has a mission like Serve with Love.
Wow.
It's that's not a business mission. That's something for I don't know what. But they didn't think missions could have companies could have a mission like that. They tried to talk us out of it, but we were too convinced. And they finally just kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, "Okay, if that's what you want, well, you know, well, that's what it'll be."
I love it. I love it. And so what we learn here as well is that as a company, as a team, you need to have conviction around your mission. It can't be something the consultants have conviction over. It's got something that you have conviction over.
Yeah.
So you guys grab a hold of it, and it's transformed the company.
Yeah.
Let's talk about love as a weapon, as a tool to overcome trials, tests, instability, and so forth. Let's start first with the business.
Well, I'll start. Yeah, I can.
Go ahead.
I'll start because, you know, with what happened there with our mission, Serve with Love, was everybody, even new employees, thought they understood what that meant.
Mm.
But it came, they looked at it from a pretty personal point of view in terms of, what's in it for me?
Mm.
You know, I can do whatever I want because you say you love me, kind of a thing.
Mm.
It's sort of like, mom and dad and your kids.
Mm.
So there was some misunderstanding of really what it meant.
So the immediate application was in a run in the park. I mean,
yeah.
it was tough.
Yeah, it was tough. And we struggled through that. Well, we had some breakdowns along the way also. In terms of, I was transitioning the ownership of the company, and I had allowed the new people, my new CEO, to take on. I was moved myself to a position of chairman of the board, And we had a financial crisis where they took their eye off the ball.
Yeah, that's in the book as well, by the way, guys.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And you had to step in there.
I had to step in, right. And in the stepping in, I had to step up in terms of my own thinking and talking about our mission, Serve with Love.
Mm.
And that's when I brought prayer into the company.
I love it.
And when we'd have our company meetings, we always would start them with prayer.
Mm.
So that was became more out front. And I just bring that up in terms, because that's sort of in the book too, but in terms of going, transitioning the out of the company, when I moved away from, and I turned the company and sold it to the
new owners.
Executive team.
Yeah.
Then I stepped away, back and away, and what I became aware of was that this is perfect because Serve with Love was bigger than the company.
I love it.
Serve with Love was something that was needed in the world. Serve with Love, I mean, I ran into this strange guy named Patrice along the way.
I love it.
And I started thinking in terms of, wow, this could be a mission for a lot of different organizations, whether it be a business.
That's
or whether
right.
it be, you know, whatever.
Yeah, a nonprofit.
A nonprofit.
A social organization. Exactly. Or even a personal mission statement.
Yeah, exactly.
We all had a Serve with Love, shouldn't we, Tom?
Yes.
You know, let me read this. I want to read this. I want to hear your reaction. I want to read. I want to listen to this very carefully as Tom talks why this love thing is so important. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not loved, I have become sounding brass or clanking cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I have not love, it profits nothing. There, Tom, the scripture mentioned three things.
Yes.
One is talents, gifts, and skills, that no matter how talented I am, if I have not love, I have nothing. It mentioned generosity. No matter how generous I am, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. It mentions the gift of communication. No matter how eloquent I am, if I have love, I'm making noise. And then the question becomes, what is love? Because I listen to this. By the way, one of the things we're going to do is that, you know, Tom doesn't know this yet, we're going to create a company workbook to allow people to walk this thing out. Because, Tom, we, like you, believe that everybody ought to be loved, serving with love. Because the question, what is love? Love suffers long.
Yeah.
Love is kind. It doesn't envy, does not parade itself, it's not puffed up, doesn't behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. I mean, who wouldn't want to have a company or a culture, an organization or a community whereby they can be assured that failure is impossible?
And not only a company, you as
an individual, life, a marriage.
To work toward that as a possibility.
I love it.
When I listen to you and I read the things that you just read, it brings tears to my eyes.
Wow. So, Tom, I'm going to get a little personal, and this may bring more tears to your eyes. I hope your son doesn't mind me sharing this. But I watch you and your son in kind of respond leveling. I watch in the book, we talk about the breakdown with you and your son when the company, he had to leave the company.
Yeah.
And obviously there was a huge misunderstanding there. Sometimes in love, there is misunderstanding. But recently there was a kind of this reconciliation with you guys because of love. Could you, because there are people listening to them say, does love matter? And love does matter. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean you won't have crisis. It doesn't mean that there won't be family failures, business failure, but it means that true love, it can be redeemed. Could you speak a bit in general about the power of love in restoring families, restoring businesses, restoring relationships, communities, and so forth, giving your own personal experience?
Well, yeah, I think you're right on, Patrice, when you say love may or may not make your life easier.
And probably
make
it more difficult.
Yeah, probably make it, yeah. that, because life comes at you. So
that's right.
It really does. And we were fortunate. I mean, in the respect of, you know, we had this breakdown with our son, and he abandoned us, he and his family, for 14 years with no interaction whatsoever. But then we obviously continue to pray for them.
And you give him his space.
Yeah,
you honor his space.
Right. You know, we missed, and we could have gotten better. We missed the growing up of our grandsons, because they were just small children, and 14 years later, they were almost adults. So we could have been bitter about that, but it was what it was, as what I always said.
Mm.
And what happened, David, our son, always was, I wasn't aware how much he had faith.
Wow.
And his faith grew in his marriage, and he got involved with he and his wife and the family with the church where they lived.
Wow.
And, that
independence from the family. So in this moment of separation, he got spiritually deeper. Isn't that awesome?
And he was taking a course dealing with anger.
Wow.
It was a course through the church. And it was, I don't remember the name of it, but it's a familiar course that a lot of different churches use.
Wow.
To deal with drugs, to deal with alcohol.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. Yeah.
And it changed his life. And because of that, Juliana, his wife, reached out to Kathy to start a conversation.
Wow.
Mainly first with email, and then suggesting that the two of them get together over coffee and talk. And then she finally said, wait a minute, I can't do this with behind David's back. I have to talk to David. And so that opened the door for a conversation with David, now to reach in and start talking with Kathy, and then shared with me, and that's growing. And so the relationship is been renewed.
Look at God.
And it's growing. It's not like perfect, but you know, relationships never are. But it does take a lot of love and a lot of forgiveness for it to be a possibility.
I love it. Guys, I don't know about you, but as I hear Tom share, you know, I just say, serve with love, in my opinion, is more than just a book. It's a declaration. It's a tool to help us in companies, in families, in communities, to really grab a hold of what really matters. And if we can do that, even in the midst of challenges, it will not fall. It will not fail. Because there's always the redemptive power of love to restore it all at the end. Isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, and it's a exciting journey to be on, I'll tell you, Patrice. I mean, the things that happen are not always easy. The issues that we are currently having with Burgerville, which I'll probably talk about it when we go to
Orlando. Right, to Nehemiah Week.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, not always easy, and not all resolved. But serve with love is still there.
It's a commitment.
Yeah.
Tom, last question for you, and I know we're running out of time here. In midst of whether it was your son, whether with the company, did you ever felt tempted to say, you know what, this serve with love thing, I'm going to give up on it?
No.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
I think, if anything, it's, you know, obviously, with what has occurred through the writing of this book and the talking with other people out and all around about the possibilities and the interest in it, is the time is right. There's a lot of good things going on in this world as well as a lot of bad things right now, but the time is really right for with Serve with Love.
I love it. Dan, what message would you like our listeners to leave with, if there's one thing you want to encourage them with? They're right now going through spiritual warfare in their companies, in their home, their families, their children. What's the one thing you want to leave him with?
One thing I want to leave him with? Boy, that's a tough one. Let's say, I guess I would say, just remember that God loves. Just remember that he's the source of all love.
Mm.
And remember that that is what he's calling us to, in spite of all the whatever shows up in our life. Lean into that, take deep breaths, and let the love grow in you.
Wow, what a message. Again, Tom will be with us October 16th through the 21st at Nehemiah Week. If you want to hear more, Tom will be talking more about serve with love, how love can be both an offensive and a defensive weapon to overcome spiritual warfare, whether in your company, whether in your life and in your community, whether in your marriage or your children. Tom is not speaking just theory. He's been battle tested through the up and down of his own company, in his own personal life, his own personal journey. So come and be inspired by his story. But more important than that, get a few tips of wisdom as to how to be guided through your own journey as you seek to serve with love. Also, you can grab this book on Amazon or on Nehemiah Project website. It's a good read, a fun read. I've heard many people talk about it. I read it in one sitting.
Yeah,
it's an easy read. But more important than that, it's an inspirational read. And soon we'll have an accompanying workbook because we're going to challenge Tom to work with us and kind of put together some how-to step so that you can have some tools to help you walk this thing out. We'll keep you posted on that. We'll have Tom again in the podcast. Tom, thank you so much, man.
Hey, my pleasure.
Looking forward to having you back. Well, I'm going to leave you what I always leave you with. If you want to hear, subscribe to this podcast, you can do it on our website, nehemiahproject.org. If you have a smartphone, you can also download this on your podcast app. And of course, you can buy Tom's book on Amazon or on our website. And let me leave you with this. My prayer for you is, may God give you the grace and favor to build that kingdom company so that one day you can hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And I'm going to close with this. You've done it in love. God bless you.
Thank you for being with us today. We're glad you could join us. If you'd like more information or other resources, please visit our website, www.nehemiahproject.org. God bless.